It's time for a solid hour of business insights and strategies for success on Mind Your Business. And here's your host, the president and founder of Bottom Line Marketing, Yitzhak Saflis.
You're tuned to another edition of Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saflis right here on 77 WABC in the Newark, New Jersey metro area and worldwide at WABCBizRadio.com. This show, Mind Your Business, on the legendary 77 WABC, is all about you. Every single week, we seek out and interview C-level executives and business leaders from all types of industries and ask them the questions that are on your mind. Gain business advice and strategies for so many professions and industries, including sales, social media, corporate culture, emerging technologies, leadership, strategic planning, communications, financial planning, marketing and advertising, customer retention, and so much more. Stay tuned for tonight's edition of Mind Your Business, where you'll gain solid business advice and strategies to get you ahead in today's business world. As we do each week, we open with some thank yous. Special thank you to Pesach Trapper, the show's producer. Thank you. And a couple of members here at the team at Bottom Line Marketing Group, Rena, Srilly, Miriam, Dina. Special thank you. And the great team at 77 WABC, Jose, Matt, Chris, Brian, Justin. Thank you very, very much. Also a reminder that you could follow me on social media. Yitzhak Saflis, I guess I have the fortune of being the only Yitzhak Saflis in America. So it's pretty easy. Any way you spell it, I should come up. But again, the spelling is Yitzhak Saflis. Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, LinkedIn, you name it, I'm there. Also, a reminder that all previous shows, and including this incredible show that we're going to have this evening, is featured on the website WABCBizRadio.com. Just a couple of the guests that come to mind that the listeners, we got great feedback. Ron Carucci, Joe Hart, the CEO of Dale Carnegie, Joanne Lublin. She just wrote the book Earning It, and she's a correspondent at the Wall Street Journal. David Colby, CEO of Colby Corporation. Dan Sullivan, CEO of Strategic Coach. Jeffrey Hazlett, Jay Baer, Jack Canfield. They're all available by going to WABCBizRadio.com. Well, without further ado, my guest this evening is none other than Christine Comerford, founder and CEO of Smart Tribes Institute, and the author of the book Smart Tribes, How Teams Become Brilliant Together. Some of her notable accomplishments include she provided on-air commentary for the CNN Fortune magazine TV special, The Top 25 Business Leaders. She was named one of the top new VCs by Red Herring magazine. She's named one of the top five renegade entrepreneurs by Success magazine. And she's an ongoing columnist for Forbes magazine. She's received numerous awards and from Fortune, Forbes, Wall Street Journal, recognized by leading business schools, Stanford, Harvard. With that intro, we give a very warm welcome to Christine Comerford. Christine, thank you for joining me here on Mind Your Business.
Thank you, Yitzhak. It's awesome to be here.
Well,
appreciate the opportunity.
Well, I open with the accolades that you receive from Bill Clinton and Bill Gates. Okay. Bill Clinton said, thank you for all your work in fostering American entrepreneurship. Bill Gates, Christine is super high bandwidth. Wow. Tell me about your relationship. I mean, this is, wow. That's some accolades.
Thank you, Yitzhak. So I'm a neuroscience-based executive coach. That's what I do. And we have the great good fortune to work with billionaires like Bill and political leaders like Bill Clinton and the Clinton administration, and we've worked with the Bush administration. We work with leaders at all levels of companies, and we work with companies of all sizes, whether they're a company called government, you know, or they're an actual private corporation or public corporation. And it's all about helping people get into what we call their smart state. We all know that humans use only 5 to 10% of their brain. Why? Because we spend too much time on what's called critter state. That's the fight, flight, freeze. That's that amygdala hijack. That's that shutdown when you don't feel as powerful and resourceful as you truly are. So what we do at Smart Tribes Institute, and we'll talk about some of the tools today, actually help people, Yitzhak, to perform at the levels that they're truly capable of. And there's nothing cooler than seeing somebody become 35 to 50% more productive in just a couple months. To see somebody become 67 to 100% more emotionally engaged, to see people really loving their work and saying, thank God it's Monday. So some of the stuff we're going to talk about today will help you get to that result.
Amazing. Now, of course, I'll be remiss if I didn't thank the person who connected us. I believe it was Johnson Haar, if I'm not mistaken, and a special shout out to him.
Yes,
that's right.
Yes.
He deserves it. He connected us.
Woo!
So, I open with in the introduction to your amazing book, Smart Tribes. And again, Christine, you'd love to see my copy of it. Marked up, stickered, yellow flagged. I mean, this is an incredible work. And I want to remind the audience, it's available everywhere. Barnes & Noble, Amazon, Smart Tribes. Actually, her first book was also a New York Times bestseller, Rules for Renegades. That one I didn't go through yet, but I'm sure it's an incredible book, doesn't need my approbation, but that's also available by going to Barnes & Noble, Amazon, your local retail, your local bookstore, it's there. But going to the introduction of Smart Tribes, you have a line in there. When leaders call me, they want three things from their teams, and often themselves, in parentheses. That's a nice way of putting it. A, increased performance. B, increased innovation. And C, increased emotional engagement. Maybe you can elaborate.
Yes. Here's the thing. Let's just go to emotional engagement, which is the last one, because
sure,
that's the foundation beneath innovation, beneath people having ideas, mm-hmm, and beneath performance. When the heart is engaged, when we are giving somebody the degree of safety, belonging, mattering that they crave, those are the three things that all humans crave.
Mm-hmm.
In any scenario, in any breakdown, in any performance issue, in any upset, look at what the person is truly asking for. Safety, backup plans, somebody to have their back, not to be alone in this endeavor. Belonging, to be connected, to have equal value, to be part of the tribe. Mattering, to be seen and acknowledged and appreciated for their unique gifts. So when we first start with the company, the first thing we'll do is an SBM, Safety, Belonging, Mattering Index, and we'll assess what's missing or what's low scoring in what department and in the company overall. Once we then put cultural and leadership programs in place to boost whatever we need, Safety, Belonging, Mattering, then we can get more innovation and more performance. Because once the person has more safety, belonging, mattering, then they can get in their smart state and have the three key parts of their brain in leadership at work kind of firing on all cylinders. And at work, we must have insights, our own insights, Yitzhak, not our boss's insights. We must have our own insights, which makes us really excited to help those insights come true. And then we have to aspire. You know, maybe we're cold and hungry now, but we see the cool place that we're all going together. So the foundation of emotional engagement enables us to get the innovation and performance that we crave.
Amazing, amazing. I'm now going to jump to chapter one, how great companies get stuck. And you talk about approaching an inflection point. Perhaps you can discuss that.
Yes. So here's what's really cool, Yitzhak. At each inflection point, and I'll rattle off a few in a moment, you have an entirely new company. So when a company is reaching 10 million, 25 million, 50 million, 100, 250, 500, and then at each billion, you have a whole different company. And here's what's interesting. With that whole different company, you must address the people issues, the money issues, and the business model issues that will show up. So in chapter one, we have a table, and it took us 30 years to figure this table out.
Amazing.
It's pretty formulaic,
amazing,
though. You know? And what's cool is this table is a recipe, and it shows you what you need to do for people money model to get to that revenue inflection point and through it. Because all too often, people hit a certain revenue inflection point, and then they swirl, and they can't seem to break through to the next level, or worst case, they slide back down. And it all comes down to they're not doing the work to get to the next inflection point.
In case you're just tuning in, my guest is none other than Christine Comerford, founder and CEO of Smart Tribes Institute and author of Smart Tribes, How Teams Become Brilliant Together. Now, just as an aside, people that are listening, and we've had many incredible guests that have landed some nice prospects through the show. How, if someone in the audience wants to get in touch with you, how, what's the best way they should do that?
Yes, they can go to smarttribesinstitute.com, smarttribesinstitute.com, and they can reach out to us there.
Excellent.
And they can learn about the coaching that we do and the training that we do and how we take people and get them 35 to 50% more productive in record time and loving their jobs.
Amazing.
And rising into really unheard of levels of leadership.
Amazing.
So, very cool.
Amazing. Now, in chapter two, also, I mean, each chapter I love, but this one is just like off the charts to me. The connection between your brain and your culture. And you talk about, you know, a person who's emotionally hijacked and good or bad, and then something just interrupts his day, their day. Maybe you can elaborate on that.
Yeah, so, you know, all day, things are coming up. External stimuli are occurring. You know, people are saying stuff to us. We're reading emails. Right. Cars are cutting us off in traffic. Our plans are changing, whatever. As these things come up, we have a choice then as to how we choose to respond. Often we will compulsively react if something that we perceive as threatening is occurring. The threat could even be, you know, a change to the meeting time, a change to the meeting agenda, a change to the product plan, a change to the schedule, the product schedule. When these things come up, it is essential for us to be able to choose how we respond versus compulsively react. But yet, if we don't learn these tools, we will slide into upset, anger, frustration, what we call critter state, fight, flight, freeze. When we're there, it takes a while to get out of that state and into the state, smart state, where we actually have choice as to how to respond. So it's key for us to understand that 90% of our behaviors, 90% of our decisions are driven, are dominated by our emotional brain. Human beings are very emotional creatures.
Tell us about it. Yeah.
Yeah, we think that we're like these intellectual powerhouses,
that's
and
right.
That's great, and we are to a degree.
Right.
But what's really driving the boat, if you will, is our emotional brain. Our reptilian brain and our mammalian brain are trying to keep us safe and are trying to continue the stuff that we've learned to survive. So change throws us into our critter state, change of any type. So we need to learn these tools so that we have choice as to how to respond to change, because the only constant in the world is change, and it's happening faster and faster and faster. I'm sure you've noticed that.
And the last year is, what, faster than the last 1,000 years, if you will?
Oh, yeah. Every year. Every
oh,
month
man.
Faster.
Moving on to chapter three, and this really ties into what you just mentioned about focus. I love the way your subtitle to the chapter. It's focus. Bright, shiny objects are not your friends.
Ugh. Yeah, let's talk about that. So often we get distracted. I think pretty much everybody has societal ADD now, if you will, because there's so much stimulation coming in from mobile phones, you know, texts, et cetera, all the time. So it's key for us to focus on high-value activities. So one thing that I really find makes a difference for our clients, it's super easy. Everybody grab a piece of paper, make two columns. On the left, write low-value activities, and on the right, write high-value activities. And here's the thing. In an average month, because weeks change, in an average month, you want to list what are your high-level, you know, categories of low-value activities. You know, you do expense reports. You moderate conflict in your team. You know, whatever you do.
Mm-hmm.
The stuff that's really emotionally draining, the stuff that makes you just go, oh, she's Louise, okay? And then to the right, you're going to put in the high-value activities column everything that is your unique gift, the stuff that you're really great about, the things that actually fulfill the role that you have at the company. So if you're a salesperson, high-value activities would be calling on clients, cultivating relationships, structuring deals, et cetera. Low-value activities, entering data in the CRM, potentially. Dealing with your admin and her upset or his upset. So when we start to lay these out, what we want to do is we want to total then each column. The whole table equals 100%. So total up each column. Maybe you have, 40% of your time and energy goes to low-value activities, 60% goes to high-value activities. This will help you understand how much time you're spending in your critter state. It's like a critter state meter. So when you do this, then you can say, hey, whoa, wait a minute. You want to have at least 70% of your time and energy going into your high-value activities. So that means you better look at your low-value activities and say, okay, what can I ditch entirely? What can I delegate? And what can I defer and just put off? Because at the end of the day, we only want to do the stuff that's moving the ball forward, which is why it's really important to have very clear needle movers. What are the 3 to 5 things that you have to accomplish this month, this quarter, this year that will change everything? Everything else that doesn't contribute to those is either a low-value activity or a bright, shiny object distraction.
Such incredible advice. I want to remind the listeners, in case you're just tuning in, no worries, as the listeners know, by Tuesday morning after the show airs, this entire episode will be up on the site that has the archive of all the previous episodes, roughly 85 at this point, at wabcbizradio.com, wabcbizradio.com. My guest this evening is Christine Comeford. We're going to take a short commercial break. Stay tuned.
Did you know that dissatisfied employees cost American businesses over $300 billion each year? Now there's a solution. TeamAhead.co. TeamAhead is a complete solution to help companies of all sizes build a positive corporate culture. TeamAhead helps today's thought leaders make their vision a legacy. TeamAhead's comprehensive approach helps you communicate your vision and engage your employees through many channels, including print, digital, sweepstakes, video, events, social media, and a custom website. Call 800-890-1807, extension 3505 to find out how TeamAhead can transform your business's corporate culture, leading to greater productivity and revenue. Call toll-free 800-890-1807, extension 3505, or visit teamahead.co. Team Ahead will enhance your workplace productivity, boost morale, and successfully communicate your vision. Don't let your company's strongest asset be its biggest liability. Call toll-free 800-890-1807, extension 3505, or visit teamahead.co to fuel your winning workplace today.
And we're back. Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saftless right here on 77 WABC and around the world at WABCBizRadio.com. My guest this evening is none other than Christine Comeford, founder and CEO of Smart Tribes Institute and author of Smart Tribes, How Teams Become Brilliant Together. I went through this book. This is a gem. It's available at Barnes & Noble, Amazon, and at bookstores worldwide. Real incredible treat. To own it and have a copy and go through it. Don't just have it on the shelf. It's one of those books, pick up, and I'm not going to tell you to take a day off from work to read it, but kind of you should. But that's the way I'll put it. Incredible book. Again, it's called Smart Tribes, How Teams Become Brilliant Together. Well, Christine, if I may, I want to jump to page 61. You coach and train some of the leaders of the free world. You're talking there about meetings. Now, some people love meetings. Most people hate them. What are the secrets to running an incredible, effective meeting?
Yes. Okay. Thanks, Yitzhak. Sure. People hate meetings because they're usually a waste of time. there are 6 types of communication. So let's talk about those for starters. Yeah. Decision-making and debating, promises, requests, point-proving, info-sharing, and sharing of oneself. Now, decision-making and debating, great, as long as we don't debate endlessly. We debate enough, and then we make a decision. Promises and requests. Will you do this for me? Request, yes, I will, by Monday at 8 a.m. That's a promise. Point-proving, chest-thumping, lots of ego. Info-sharing, here's my status report. Why are we doing a meeting for that? That can be done digitally in advance. And then sharing of oneself. Here's how I feel about such and such, or here's an interpretive dance to show how I feel about our marketing plan. Sharing of oneself is okay to a degree, but going on is ineffective. Most typical ineffective meetings focus a lot on info sharing, and point proving, with a little bit of decision-making and debating, sharing of oneself, but very few requests and promises. So what we want to get is, hey, we're doing enough debating and decision-making so that we can say, will you do this for me by Monday at 8 a.m.? Yes, I will, or no, I won't, but I can do it for you Monday at noon. We want to decide in the room and execute out of the room. So here are our tips for effective meetings that our clients love. Number one, set the meeting's intention in advance. What's the intention? What exactly do you want to accomplish? Okay? What exactly do we want to accomplish? And then really, you know, if we need to share info, email that to everybody in advance. Hey, everybody, review this stuff 24 hours in advance, if you will, whatever your standard is, so that when we meet, we can be super efficient. Number two, invite the doers, the decision makers, the impacted parties only. Often meetings are too crowded. Everybody wants to share them themselves, and we don't get anything done. So only the doers, decision makers, impacted parties. Number three, prompt start times. Most of our clients will start their meeting. They'll say this is a meeting at 9:55. That way everybody is there in the room getting coffee, talking at 9:55, so it starts at 10. So make sure everybody is there 5 minutes early. And if people show up late, let's have some penalties. A lot of our clients say $20 if you're 5 minutes late and $50 if you're 10 minutes late or 6 to 10 minutes late. Pretty quickly, people show up on time. The money then goes to, you know, a beer bust later or something. Number four, clear meeting leader, tight time box agenda. So we have to have somebody who's leading the meeting and everybody has an agenda. We're going to spend 10 minutes on this. We're going to spend 5 minutes on that. So that way people see it in advance. They've got their thoughts prepared. Boom. Number five, manage communication and feedback. Now, a lot of people want to chime in, and actually whoever's talking wants to know that people are on board or not. Right. What our clients like to do is have three different colors of index cards. Green, pink, white. These are all, of course, pre-printed, very easy. You can just order them on Amazon, if you like, or Office Depot. So you can hold up white, which means I want to talk next, and the meeting leader goes, aha, Yitzhak is in the queue next to talk. Pink means whatever this person is saying, I totally disagree with it because they don't pre-print red ones, so pink is close. So I'm disagreeing with this. That way, if somebody is making a pitch and a bunch of pink cards go up, they're going to stop talking and say, okay, let me regroup. Clearly, this isn't working. Green means, yep, this is working for me. I agree. Keep going. So managing communication that way makes it really effective, and people feel heard, quote unquote, because they're communicating with the cards. Not everybody has to say, well, I agree, and then it takes another 20 minutes.
Right.
Number six, send a recap email of all the responsibilities post-meeting. Okay, so Susie Q agreed to do this, and Bob Q agreed to do that, and Stan agreed to do that by that date, and Suzanne to do that by that date. And also you can route this to people who are going to be impacted. Hey, guys, this is what we agreed by this date, FYI, so you can be prepared. Wow. People start to love meetings when they run them this way because they're super efficient. They clip along. All the info sharing happens in advance, and we can simply make decisions and get back to work.
Brilliant. Brilliant. That's all I could say. Brilliant. You know, the smart tribes, the name, maybe you could just discuss that for a minute. I mean, that's a buzzword. We know those in Cleveland tuning in will be excited, right? You got the Cleveland Indians, the tribe, as it's known over there. But you've chosen it very purposefully. What's the idea about creating a tribe?
Yeah. You know, tribes are so primal, you know, they evoke these images of people kind of gathered around the fire and people who need each other to get ahead.
Right.
And human beings are tribal beings. We are deeply social beings. We rely on each other from the moment we're born for years before we are truly independent. So we need to be connected to others. We need to belong somewhere. We need to, again, you know, have safety and have mattering. So since we are such social creatures, since we do need each other, when we focus on that within a company, that's how we build tremendous loyalty and performance, because it's about something bigger than just us. It's about the welfare of the tribe. It's about having status within the tribe. This is why when we do recognition and appreciation events, we don't do them silently. You know, we do them publicly and specifically. High five to Yitzhak for modeling our value of accountability.
Right.
He got such and such a project done on time, on budget. We knew it was going to be a challenge. Go Yitzhak, yay. Mm-hmm. Then people go, wow, Yitzhak is an example of accountability in our tribe, huh? Yitzhak stands up a little taller. You know, he now has more status. And also people will come to him saying, hey, how did you do that?
Right.
So we all want to be valuable. We all want to be seen. We all want to contribute to something bigger than ourselves. Building a tribal nature within a company does just that.
Now, just and before I move on to some of the incredible columns that you address in your Forbes feature regularly, you have I've seen it. If I could ask you to please run down the 5 Smart Tribe accelerators, that was also brilliant. Yes.
Yes. Yes. Okay. So leaders have to really make sure that they are honoring these accelerators because their experience and their team members' experience will be powerfully affected by these. Focus, clarity, accountability, influence, and sustainability. If we're not focused, people aren't going to know where we're going.
Right.
It gets very exhausting. If we're not clear in our communication, we're going to have problems and we're not going to get a deliverable that we expected. If we don't hold people accountable and aren't accountable ourselves, ball's not going to move forward. If we can't influence, enroll, engage others inside, outside the company, it's going to be really hard to get stuff done. If we're not sustainable, we're going to be burning out. Let me give you guys a resource right now.
Sure.
So if you go to smarttribesinstitute.com, smarttribesinstitute.com, go over to the resources section, do the leadership assessment, you'll be able to assess yourself and how strong you are in the 5 Smart Tribe accelerators. You'll get the results sent to you digitally within just a couple of minutes. So go to smarttribesinstitute.com, click on the resources. A leadership assessment is awesome. It'll really make a difference for you.
Wow. My guest this evening is Christine Comerford, founder and CEO of Smart Tribes Institute. She's been doing this for over 3 decades, so this advice is incredibly powerful. In case you just tuned in, no worries. Well, you should. Where were you? but no worries. In a couple of days, this will be up in the iTunes store. Well, it's free, so on the iTunes channel for this show, and of course, Audio Boom and all the other ways. In fact, we were recently we're now part of the C-Suite Radio Network as well, so you'll be able to pick this up there as well. That's a new addition to our show. But again, you will be able to get it within a couple days, so no worries. We're going to take a short commercial break. Stay tuned.
Your company website is crucial to your success, providing information about your company to the entire world. Was your website recently updated? Is it mobile-friendly? And does it have the 2016 look? Well, look no further than WebsiteWithBrains.com, the complete website solution. Call Website with Brains today at 718-412-3500. That's 718-412-3500. Or visit WebsiteWithBrains.com.
And we're back, Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saftless, right here on 77 WABC and around the world at WABCBizRadio.com. My guest this evening is none other than Christine Comerford, founder and CEO of the Smart Tribes Institute, and she authored the book Smart Tribes, How Teams Become Brilliant Together. Before I move to some of the great articles that I've read and actually retweeted and sent out on LinkedIn, etc., by Christine, how could someone get in touch with you, with your organization?
Yes, they can go to smarttribesinstitute.com, smarttribesinstitute.com. They can call us at 415-320-6580, 415-320-6580, or Twitter, at Comerford, or LinkedIn, Comerford.
Amazing. I'd love to jump to the one, why leaders need to be great storytellers. And I mean, this, I don't even know where to start. I love one of the sentences was, stories are like nutrition for our souls. And maybe we could even then go through the different points in there where we'll talk about how storytelling affects the brain and some of the pointers that you have. A great column, but let's take it away.
Yes. Okay. So let's first start with how storytelling affects the brain, and then we're so that way we'll sell you, right?
Yes.
You'll see the benefit on telling more stories,
yes.
Right? And then maybe I'll tell you a quick story for you in a sec.
Absolutely.
Okay. So for starters, how storytelling affects the brain. It affects the brain in four ways. First is neural coupling. That means a story activates parts in the brain that allows the listener to turn the story into their own ideas and experience, thanks to neurocoupling. You probably, Yitzhak, have watched a movie where you could relate to the person, to the actor or actress, and what they're experiencing, and you found yourself feeling what it appeared the actor or actress was feeling, yes?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We all cheer, right. You know, when the actor succeeds.
Right.
We cry when they are defeated.
Right.
Okay, so we actually connect with the story that we're hearing. Mirroring. Listeners not only experience kind of the similar brain activity, but we also start to then mirror the body posture, gesture, vocal tone, pace, pitch, etc. of the speaker. Of the storyteller.
Mm-hmm.
So now we're becoming kind of same, like them. Dopamine. The brain is releasing dopamine into the system when it experiences an emotionally charged event, kind of making it easier to remember and with greater accuracy. That's the hippocampus. That's the part of our brain around learning and memory. Ah, just a second. Let me stop there.
Sure.
When we tell a story in business,
right.
When we have company values, those are a story. When we have a company mission or vision, those are a story about why we're working together, where we're going forward together. The more emotional they are, the more emotionally engaging they are, the more somebody actually remembers them. So, interesting. Learning and memory tied together in the hippocampus. Dopamine, kind of creating that emotionally charged experience. Also, the dopamine also gives us that experience of future reward and kind of feeling good about that. Cortex activity, when we're processing facts, okay, we light up a couple of areas of our brain, and a well-told story can really engage many additional areas. So we're getting super engaged by this.
Right.
So stories are a great way to rally the team. Stories are a great way to get your team excited and also to engage your customers. So let's talk about the four steps on
right.
creating a great story.
Yes.
Okay? Here are kind of the recipe. Number one, focus on your story customer. Who's the story for? Think about the recipient. What is their situation? We want to make sure that we talk to them about something that's relevant to them. Next, make it authentic. Don't fake a story. Don't fabricate a story. I love the way Mark Twain said, truth is stranger than fiction.
Yeah.
So the more true the story can be based on your own experience, far more powerful. Okay. Next, number three, give the story movement. Start somewhere, go somewhere. When you think of great movies, it's because there is a quest. There's movement. We're here and we want to be there and now we go there. Okay. That way people can follow along.
Mm-hmm.
Make the story value-oriented. What insight, what learning, what good stuff am I going to get from this story? What takeaways? Step five, there are five steps.
Of course.
Test the efficacy. You want to test the story before you actually start using it. Test it to see if people really feel connected to it. Here's the net. A good story, which is also a marketing piece.
Absolutely.
That's a story.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So a good story has as many of the following components as possible. CURVE is short for this, and we learned this from marketing profs. CURVE mm-hmm. is short for this. C is for curiosity. Is the recipient going to be curious about what happens in the story? U is for urgency. Does the story create a sense of must get this done now? Is there urgency in the story? R, relevance. Is the story relevant to the recipient's situation or context? V, value. Does the story reflect my values? Is the story valuable? And then E, emotion. Does the story have an emotional impact? Is it funny? Is it scary? Is it surprising?
Now, I mean, fascinating stuff. And it brings to mind when you talked about how the brain reacts and how the memory relates to all the different parts and from the experiences. I always find it fascinating where someone will do an interview, let's say, with a baseball player. And let's say a baseball player who's been in the major leagues for 15, 20 years. And he could be interviewed about a certain incident where he was at the plate and Roger Clemens was pitching to him or who, whatever the case is. And they'll remember the details. And the person had thousands and thousands and thousands of plate appearances, and you could almost ask them about any situation, and like they remember it. And how does that work? I mean, that's yeah.
Okay, good. So remember back. Remember.
Yes.
Back a couple of minutes ago when we were talking about emotion.
Right.
Think Yitzhak and everybody listening. Think about some of the biggest events in your entire life. And as you look at those biggest events in your entire life, I betcha they were emotionally charged, either positively or negatively.
Absolutely.
Because then your hippocampus remembers that stuff. Our memory is tied to deep emotion. If it's not emotional, chances are really good it's going to go right in and right out. We're not going to remember it. So, you know, all the bases are loaded, you're up to bat, look around the field, wow, I've got to bring everybody home. You know, game is almost over, you know, it's emotionally charged, all the pressure is on. You know, swing the bat, clip that wonderful sound, whoa, it's a home run, everybody runs home, everybody's crazy and screaming, you're going to remember that feeling for the rest of your life.
Amazing, amazing stuff. My guest this evening is Christine Comerford, founder and CEO of Smart Tribes Institute, and we've been spending quite some time talking about her incredible book, Smart Tribes, How Teams Become Brilliant Together. It's available everywhere, Barnes & Noble, Amazon, your local bookstore, worldwide. And really incredible book, especially for the listeners of this audience, which primarily are made up of mid-size owners and C-level executives at mid-size to small businesses. Of course, Christine has coached as well and has been close with Bill Gates, Bill Clinton, just to name a few. So she certainly has the accolades from those certainly is one to turn to if you're looking to grow your business through the various inflection points as we discussed earlier in the program. And again, in case you're just tuning in, you'll be able to hear this entire episode by going to the archive, the website that has all the archives of all the past shows, wabcbizradio.com. WABCBizRadio.com. If you prefer to listen to it on iTunes, there's a link for that. If you prefer to listen on your computer or you prefer to download it, all the options are available by going to WABCBizRadio.com. We're going to take a short commercial break. Stay tuned.
Did you know that dissatisfied employees cost American businesses over $300 billion each year? Now there's a solution. TeamAhead.co. TeamAhead is a complete solution to help companies of all sizes build a positive corporate culture. Team Ahead helps today's thought leaders make their vision a legacy. Team Ahead's comprehensive approach helps you communicate your vision and engage your employees through many channels, including print, digital, sweepstakes, video, events, social media, and a custom website. Call 800-890-1807, extension 3505 to find out how Team Ahead can transform your business's corporate culture, leading to greater productivity and revenue. Call toll-free 800-890-1807, extension 3505, or visit teamahead.co. Team Ahead will enhance your workplace productivity, boost morale, and successfully communicate your vision. Don't let your company's strongest asset be its biggest liability. Call toll-free 800-890-1807, extension 3505, or visit teamahead.co to fuel your winning workplace today.
And we're back. Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saftless right here on 77 WABC and around the world at WABCBizRadio.com. A reminder, you can follow me on social media, all the primary channels, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn. And the benefit of that is you get the sneak peek onto who our upcoming guests are going to be on the show. We always release it on social media a couple days before it airs. And we also tweet out and again via Facebook, etc., the highlights of these incredible episodes that we have right here on Mind Your Business on this incredible radio station, 77 WABC in the Newark, New Jersey metro area. My guest this evening is Christine Comerford, founder and CEO of Smart Tribes Institute and author of Smart Tribes, How Teams Become Brilliant Together. Well, Christine, if I may, I want to touch on some of the incredible articles that you've penned that appear on Forbes. The first one I'd love to touch on is 5 signs your top performers are going to quit and what you can do to retain them. Now, again, this may freak out the CEOs, but hey, to hear from someone like you on how they could spot this and hopefully prevent it, the floor is yours.
Okay. Yes. Okay. Here's the thing.
Yes.
Yeah. Let's not get freaked out, everybody. Let's just walk into the situation with our eyes open.
Yeah.
So first, start to notice the following 5 signs. First, is somebody's productivity and accountability dropping? Are they missing deadlines? Are they not keeping their normal hours in the office? Are they not all here? Are they not fully present? Maybe they stopped making commitments to long-term projects. Maybe they aren't offering forward-thinking ideas. Something's going on there. Number 2, communication. Communication stops or slows down. They aren't proactively contributing in meetings. They aren't responding to emails and phone calls in a timely manner like they used to. They're isolating. Think back to belonging. They are starting to leave the tribe emotionally. Number 3, negative attitude. Maybe they're expressing negative attitudes, negative behaviors. They are dissatisfied with things and they're being verbal about it. They don't have anything positive to say. They aren't optimistic any longer. They aren't outcome-focused any longer. That's another sign. Number 4, change in appearance. Sometimes drastic changes in appearance, they're stepping away from the tribe again. They're trying to find their next tribe. Changes in behavior combined with changes in appearance really shows that they aren't feeling seen at work, or they want to be somewhere else, or frankly, they start to really dress down or dress sloppy because, frankly, it doesn't matter. They don't care to have status in the tribe anymore. Number 5, team members start to get concerned. Is George okay? People start to actually notice it and express that. So look for those particular signs, and the most important thing, pull that person aside. They're disengaged. We need to pull them aside. We need to help them get re-engaged. So to do that, first we're going to sit down and we're going to set the stage. Hey, here's what's happening. This is my experience. I'm sort of puzzled by it. Number 2, here's the behavior I'm seeing. Are you okay, et cetera? Number 3, when you do this, describe the impact, this is what occurs. When you trash the company, people feel badly about it. Number 4, check the problem acknowledgement. Are we on the same page here? Do you see how this isn't totally working? Number 5, co-create a plan. Let's change your experience here, or if you really want to go, let's map out a transition plan, that way nobody's blindsided. Number 6, everything clear? Are we cool on this? You know, reiterate the desire for a positive resolution.
Mm-hmm.
Number 7, build small agreements. Okay, so let's meet every Friday at 4 o'clock for 15 minutes just to see how it's going.
Hmm. Wow. So I guess they shouldn't freak out. They should just follow this advice.
Exactly. Here's the thing.
Yeah.
All we need is a plan. We start to follow the plan, and then we don't have to have the weird fears and the insecurities. We look, I'm seeing a few of these top signs. Boom.
Right.
Let's do a 7-step feedback frame. Go ahead and Google 5 signs your top performers are going to quit, or even just Forbes,
right.
Comerford, Comerford, 5 signs, and you'll find this blog, and you can
Amazing.
Look it up. And also you can re-listen to this radio.
Thank you. And again, a reminder, it will be up. The easiest way to access it in the channel of your choice is by going to WABCBizRadio.com. You'll see the Christine Comerford's face, and then you click on that, and all the different platform options are available to you. And again, it will be up shortly after the airing of the show, usually within 2-3 days. Moving along to the next article that caught my mind, that caught my eye, and it was just incredible. The Power Primer: Lessons from Andy Grove, Stephen Hawking, Bill Gates, and Larry Ellison. Yeah, so much packed experience and a learning experience that you've had of those four giants.
So let me just I'll zoom through these pretty quickly, Yitzhak. And in my interactions with the late, great Andy Grove, you know, one thing that really stood out, he was always so gracious. He was always making sure I was comfortable whenever we got together, trying to feed me, kind of giving me status, which I thought was so amazing for a billionaire to kind of reach down, if you will, and make sure that I felt equal to him. Right. Whenever his assistant called to book time for us together, it was always, well, would that work for you? You know, and I'm like, well, yes, would that work for Andy?
Yeah.
So that was kind of lovely. Bill Gates, be certain. One of my favorite stories about Bill was in 1985, Windows was being trashed in the press. It had been released. It was a disaster. Bill just kept saying, you know what? It's going to be a world standard. It's just a matter of time. It's going to be a world standard. It's just a matter of time. And people were like, you're insane. This is dreadful. This is a disaster, et cetera. Now, it became a world standard on 40 million desktops in 1990. But for 5 years, he just kept saying, it's just a matter of time. It's totally going to happen. He had no doubt whatsoever. He was absolutely certain this was going to happen. It was just a matter of time, which I thought was really interesting. We all think that, well, we achieve great things and then we're confident. Well, that's easy. He taught me you're confident and then you achieve great things.
Mm.
The confidence of certainty comes first.
Mm.
Larry Ellison, be bold. He was constantly, you know, Sybase used to be the market leader. Where are they now, you know? And they had superior technology, and Larry just said, forget it, I can sell around this. You know, I'll make my stuff superior in time, but until then, I'm going to make some bold claims. We're going to sell like crazy. We're going to totally come through for our customers. And sometimes you just have to be bold, especially when you're the little guy. And I find often people will get psyched out by the market leader. The market leader is just temporary. When you look at the number of Fortune 1000 companies that go out of business, a lot of them don't even last on the list for 10 years. World is constantly changing. Stephen Hawking, be warm. I met Stephen at a White House lecture that he was giving when I was working with the Clinton administration.
Mm-hmm.
And he was so lovely. He gave this really great kind of pre-recorded speech, if you will, and then he took a bunch of Q&A. And then he looked pretty tired afterwards, which, you know, one can imagine.
Mm-hmm.
And I approached him, and I just, you know, I said a couple of things, you know, thank you, et cetera. And he was so warm and loving and kind. It blew my mind. So be gracious, be certain, be bold, be warm. The more successful I think we are, the greater opportunity we have to be of service to others.
Mm.
Let's remember that.
Yeah, such great advice. And now if we could move to, this is a column that also went up within the last couple of weeks, the only career advice you need for 2017. Yeah,
let's
great article. Yes.
Yeah, let's do it. Okay, so here's the thing. We know that work needs to be meaningful. Otherwise, it's drudgery, our heart's not in it, we're not emotionally engaged. Mm-hmm. Since emotional engagement is the foundation beneath everything, innovation, performance, happiness, health, etc.
Mm-hmm.
First, it's kind of cool to ask 10 questions. And these are from Seth Godin, and he wrote a really insightful blog, 10 Questions for Work That Matters. So I'm going to rattle those off for you.
Sure,
I want you
sure.
To think
take
about
your
this.
Time. Mm-hmm.
When you look at your work, first ask, what are you doing that's difficult? Next, what are you doing that people believe only you can do?
Hmm.
Who are you connecting? What do people say when they talk about you? What are you afraid of? What's the scarce resource? What do you not have enough of? Who are you trying to change? What does the change look like? Would we miss your work if you stopped making it? What do you stand for? What contributions are you making? Now, when we ask these questions, I find it makes it a little bit easier for us to determine what our individual development plan is. So an IDP, individual development plan, is, I think, the most important thing everybody needs to do on a regular basis. This is when you sit down and say, how do I want to grow? It's a written plan that outlines your career goals you want to accomplish, what you're going to take, what steps you're going to take to meet those goals. It's a tool that you can use to envision and organize and plan. It's also kind of a tool to help you raise the bar on who you are and how you're showing up.
Mm-hmm.
So we like to have two sections, professional development, personal development. So what job skills will you need? What leadership skills will you need? What's a timeline for acquiring those skills? What's a planned budget, et cetera? Back to the Smart Tribes Accelerators. When you guys who are listening go to smarttribesinstitute.com, when you click on the resources menu, when you take the leadership assessment, you're going to find out how you're doing in focus, clarity, accountability, influence, and sustainability. Based on your scores, you may choose to pick a couple of those for your individual development plan. So, for instance, you might have a lower score in accountability. You might say, you know what? That's it. I'm going to put accountability on my individual development plan. I'm really going to focus on that for the next quarter. All right, so what job skills do I need, if any? What leadership skills do I need? Timeline, plan, budget, et cetera. Next steps, agreement the plan will be driven by me and not by my leader. We drive these ourselves. Separately, what do I want to do personally? You know, if I work out more, will I have greater mental clarity? If I meditate for 15 minutes in the morning or do a gratitude practice, who do I want to be? I get what I want to do. Who do I want to be that will make the doing easier? Then, of course, we share this with our leader. We drive it forward ourselves, and we track how we are transforming ourselves. And then we create the next one when the first one's done. Individual development plans are so, so important. Everybody needs to keep moving forward personally and professionally.
Incredible. And as we approach the close, before my final question, which is just a great takeaway that you wish to share with the audience, I just must need to get this in. When we talk about behavior change, what we really want as any C-level executive wants sustainable behavior change from their team and really themselves. How is it possible to keep people working together in their optimal state?
Yeah, I think, first of all, it's really important, Yitzhak, for us to understand where our energy is going, mm-hmm. where we're allocating our energy. And the third book, my third book that I'm working on right now, is really about energy allocation and how much energy we lose due to emotions. Think about your life, everybody listening. The number one thing I find is if we've got our Smart Tribe accelerators working and everybody's focused, our communication is super clear, we've got our accountability structures in place, we're influential, we're sustainable, what gets in the way of moving things forward? Generally, it's the meaning that we make. Something happens and we say, wow, this is really stressful, and we talk ourselves into critter state. So what if you had a ton of client requests coming in? You could either say, oh my gosh, I'm so overwhelmed, there's so much stuff to do, I'm just going to freak out and go into critter state and be less productive and drag everybody down there with you. Or you can say, wow, isn't this awesome? It's so great to have so many great clients. It's so great to be able to provide so much value. It's so cool that people are reaching out to us because they know we can provide value for them. Yay. That second meaning-making, the second choice of meaning that you choose to make will result in smart state. So we decide what our world is like. It can be draining and exhausting and demotivating, or it can be an exciting adventure. What would you like for it to be? What stories would you like to tell? How then would you like to help people stay in their high-value activities? How then would you like to run your meetings so that they are more effective? How then would you like to really be present to your people so if some of your top performers are drifting off, you can bring them back into the tribe? How then would you like to be gracious and warm and certain and bold? It's your choice. You know, leadership is a privilege. It's not an entitlement.
Wow.
That's what this is all about.
Wow.
Yeah. It's the opportunity to cultivate and to elevate others. So if we sign up for this, let's show up for it.
Wow. Well, in the remaining literally 60 seconds that we have, Christine, what final takeaways could you share with the listeners of Mind Your Business?
That's it, guys. Seriously. Leadership is a privilege. Please look at the opportunity to be of service to people. Please look at how you can stand in who they are and understand where they're struggling. They're always asking you in a struggle for safety, belonging, or mattering. What do they need? It's not about them serving you. Hate to tell you, but it's about you standing over there and giving them what they need so they can move forward. A great leader gets a lot of stuff done through other people. individually, we can only do so much. So once we really get the privilege that leadership is, the honor, the opportunity, when I'm not working with great leaders, I am helping people die. I do hospice volunteering. Mm. I've helped 32 people die over the past 17 years. Mm. Here's the thing I know for sure. The legacy we leave is the experience people have of us in their hearts. That's what you're creating. That's the great good fortune you have as a leader, is to, as you help people grow, they will remember you their whole life. So our legacy is in the hearts that we leave in others, and how cool that we actually get to spend time every day and get paid for it to create that legacy.
So, so special. Wow. That was Christine Comerford. Again, her book is on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, worldwide at any bookstore, Smart Tribes, How Teams Become Brilliant Together. In case you missed this incredible edition of Mind Your Business, no worries. In a couple of days, it will be up on the website that features all the past guests, wabcbizradio.com, wabcbizradio.com. Well, stay tuned up next for Rita Cosby here on 77 WABC, and tune in again next Sunday night for Mind Your Business right here on 77 WABC.
77 WABC Radio presents Mind Your Business, hosted by founder and president of Bottom Line Marketing Group, Yitzhak Safliff. Mind Your Business focuses on business and marketing strategies for success. Tune in every Sunday night from 11 until 12 for this intriguing weekly radio show that's chock full of business insights and marketing strategies that will help you get ahead of the game. Host Yitzhak Safliff has been producing pioneering and creative marketing work for over two decades. He leads a team of marketing experts who help their clients build their brands and grow their businesses. Now, he and his guests offer their business and marketing expertise to you every Sunday night from 11 until midnight on Mind Your Business.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.